Before we continue, one of the ways we keep all of our content for you, the listener, free of charge is our amazing sponsors, and today, Anchor is one of those sponsors. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free, there's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcasts right from your phone or computer. Anchor is going to distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere podcasts are listened to, and you can even make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to Anchor. FM to get started.
The Riddler and Catwoman are cast. The search continues for the Penguin. A rock solid update on Black Adam, and Joker is one of the top 10 grossing films of 2019 today, and much more on DC Movie News.
Welcome to Popcorn Talk, featuring movie discussion, news, and interviews. Popcorn Talk, we talk movies. And now, here's Popcorn Talk's DC Movie News.
In the great hall of the Justice League.
Whoa!
Whoa! Wonder Twin powers activate! Form of!
This microphone.
Form of!
Potties.
By the power of Grayskull, welcome to DC Movie
Wait, did I do that right for the first
Not
time?
At all.
Oh, damn.
Okay. I did that.
Back to ground zero.
What's
worse
a
than Roxy.
Apparently, we're trying to get right into TV time, to Hectic Show. We got a lot of news.
A lot of news.
Have we ever? That's Ryan in the booth. What's up? Welcome to DC Movie News on another Friday. We are joined today by a longtime friend of DC Movie News. He's responsible for some of our real killer photography work. He's a photographer himself. He's a huge DC fan, and Ricky Middlesworth is with us today.
I had to be here today. What a big week.
You reached out. You were like,
I got the day off. I got to come in and talk about all this stuff. It's too much fun.
You need me in that chair.
And then everything started dropping left and right. I will say, though, we could use another photo session soon. Maybe
that was a long time ago. I feel like we need a refresher.
I was not blonde.
So ready to get back in front of the lens. And to my left, the voice you're hearing, if you're not watching us right now on YouTube, is the crown jewel of DC Movie News. That's Roxy Stryer.
I am she. She is me. Yes, I am. Happy to be here today to talk about all of the amazingness news. I feel like Disney's been like, we're going to drop all this news. And then Warner Brothers DC was like, and hold our beer.
Yeah.
holy cow.
Yeah, it's been a huge, huge week for us.
Huge week.
This week I felt like I was like a kid with my toys, and like, because I would always kind of like fantasy, you know, casting in my head with my toys at home and my action figures, and I got Catwoman, I got the Riddler, who's next. It's just an exciting, makes me feel like a kid when we get in these casting
See what
casting
you just did,
modes.
Though. You just did the Riddler. We had a
oh,
debate
I did.
Beforehand.
Is it the Riddler or just Riddler?
We had a debate before.
Okay, quick trivia question. We're, of course, going to talk about Paul Dano being cast as the Riddler. Live action. I want to say, is he the fifth or sixth Riddler?
Are you counting TV or no?
I'm counting it all. Live action, not animated.
So
somebody in the
TV.
Chat room joining us on the Popcorn Talk Network. Get with us. Let me. I'm including because there's at least Frank Gorshin, but somebody else. Was Frank Gorshin the only?
Well,
guy?
Are you including all the animated series?
No.
Live action. I can only count
Jim
five.
Jim Carrey, Gotham Dude. How many on 66 Batman? Just Frank Gorshin.
I think it might be the fourth.
Just no.
Just right, somebody will get
Let's
that.
See.
Let's not get hung up on that.
Okay.
I do want to say, guys, how are you guys doing this week?
You
Excited.
Know, chilling like a villain. My name is Riddler.
Well, that's great.
Riddle me that.
Your name is Riddler. Guys, I got to actually see Pattinson last night. I went to a double feature of Lighthouse and Zombieland 2.
How was it?
It was a lot of movie.
They say it's weird.
It's very weird.
Yeah.
I would say go for Willem Dafoe puts on a masterclass, and I'll give you one teaser, not really a spoiler. He kind of gets naked and kind of looks amazing as hell.
Okay, good for him.
He's one of the best looking naked men I've ever seen. One frame.
Well,
I'm
really into this.
There's mermaid stuff.
Are you talking about
going
Pattinson
on.
Or Willem Dafoe?
I'm talking about Willem Dafoe. Pattinson is he gets. I don't want to say anything about the movie. It is an interesting descent into madness.
I'm going to go in knowing nothing.
But obviously, I felt it was playing in four screens at the ArcLight in Hollywood, and that is obviously Lighthouse is getting the Batman bump. I mean, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, maybe.
Is there any way that that film is on four screens if Pattinson has not announced as Batman?
Well, I'm going back to an earlier question because I'm going to decide to answer the Riddler question instead. Okay. So this looks like, based off very trusty source, Wikipedia, live-action Riddler appears in the 1960s Batman television show, Frank Gorshin, who you named. But then he also appeared in Legends of the Superheroes.
Right.
That's still
well,
one.
That also had Adam West and Burt Ward, so same universe.
In Gotham, Corey Michael Smith.
Right. Jim Carrey.
This is just for television. In the fourth episode of the first season, NBC's Powerless, Riddler sends his henchmen. That is played by one of Riddler's henchmen is Robert Buckley, but actually him, maybe.
Oh, but they never had the actual Riddler.
Interesting.
Yeah, interesting.
So we've got two so far. Wow, that's kind of crazy. Live action.
Oh, wait, so it was John Astin was the other one in Batman 66 series. Thank you very much, Garth McMurray. Yes, John Astin, Adams, Mr. Adams, Adams family just came out. The original Adams.
Way.
The original Gomez Adams. Oh, boy.
I was not aware of that.
Yes, so I How guess he's that? The fifth. Is that what I'm getting?
Okay.
Thank you very much. John Astin was the one I was looking for. Man,
well,
I love this digital communication world.
More Riddler talk to come, but speaking of the digital communication world, I will say anybody who wants to join us live in this digital communication journey, go to Popcorn Talk's YouTube page every single Friday, 1 p.m. Pacific time. That's where we're at. If you are here right now, please give us a thumbs up. Also, rate, comment, subscribe. We love reading your guys' comments afterwards. I always go back and check. And if you join us live throughout the show, you actually can get shout-outs on the show. So we appreciate your support. I'm going to start doing more Apple Podcast shout-outs, too. So
we
love some reviews over there. And then next week, I'll make sure to shout you guys out.
Yes. Yes. We read everything.
Yes,
so
yes,
be nice. Because when you're mean, we see that, too.
That's very true.
Why don't we talk about the little piece of news that popped today before we get into some of that deeper casting meat?
Because
I feel like we can have a big The Batman nugget in a second. But I just wanted to say it looked like somebody made a great piece of fan art for The Rock depicting him as Black Adam. And he responded very positively and then gave a little bit of an update and said, I've been with this project over 10 years, which is like it feels like at least 10 years. But I guess it has been 10 years. That he's been affiliated with the Black Adam character in some potential form. And somehow, it's still happening. He's saying this July, which kind of makes no sense because there's no more July in this year.
No, of course, 2020. Production begins this
July. It's a long time.
It's a very long time from now.
So my question to you guys is, is that far enough in the future? Does it feel like a real update to you, or does it feel like just spinning a wheel? What do you take from this, guys?
100% this feels like a real update to me. When does Black Adam start shooting? July of 2020.
Anything else is a lie now.
That is a date. So, yes, nothing else could possibly be true. Now, obviously, things are subject to change and whatnot, but for the first time since we have had a Black Adam announced in our DC universe at all, which was announced so early on, he's been with it for 10 years. We've been with him as Black Adam for, 5 years now? Mm-hmm. We have a date of when they're starting production. That is huge to me. Johnny, wherever he is right now, can no longer say swerve. We have details, and that detail is July, which everybody knows is the best month of the year because it's when I was born. Mm-hmm. Go Cancers.
Hey, I'll believe it when I see, the set photos and, the actual start of the production. But, I feel like them waiting this long is actually going to help the movie because I think DC will be in a healthier place, if they wait it out and kind of get out, work out all their bugs.
He weathered the entire storm of the whole DC film universe to the very rocky start.
Yeah.
To now, I think where you have to say with the Joker's success, you have to say if you're looking at this series, it's Warner Brothers' most profitable franchise right now,
mm-hmm.
and more successes financially than failures. And it's crazy to look back and see the biggest flop is Justice League. Is that even how is that possible? But really,
that's crazy. It makes me feel like puking.
Yeah,
I really feel like puking.
Crazy, right?
It's almost impressive.
Literally every other one has been more successful.
We host a DC movie news show, and Justice League was the least successful of the live actions. You know, what was
people
more successful?
Pick up on that stuff.
Suicide Squad.
Yeah.
Suicide Squad was more successful than Justice League
by a lot.
Ryan, what is the tweet that you are showing us right now?
Oh, this was Dwayne Johnson tweeting out about. About Black Adam, just a quote from the comics. I just had it pulled up. I'm pulling up one more time.
What, while you're pulling that up, what I will say is my biggest question to you guys is...
Ooh, I can't wait.
Is Zachary Levi in the Black Adam movie? And if he is, at what point?
May I answer?
Yes, sir. I call on you.
All right. I want to take your question. I'm also going to form it. I'm going to say no. But I feel... And tell me, does anybody else just feel this other than me? With the success of the Joker, do you somehow feel better about what they're potentially going to do with a Black Adam movie? Like, because of the Joker's success,
well,
I feel like we're
yes
gonna...
Yes and no, because I really hope that they don't do with the Black Adam movie what they did with the Joker movie. I mean,
but... Not that much, but just a little bit.
Well, there has been a lot of talk about making, to me, in the comics, Black Adam, super-duper villain. Not anti-hero, villain. Just read the new 52 Shazam a little bit ago, and they've kept with that villain. There's been talks about this Black Adam being an anti-hero. So I don't want to see what they did with the Joker if then they're going to make him an anti-hero.
I do think that with Dwayne Johnson's brand, you know, he's very family friendly,
totally.
You know, and especially how they've established Zachary Levi, I think he could fit well within that tone. I don't know if we'll see him in the movie. It seems strange to make us wait a whole nother movie to see the two of them together. It seems like a lost opportunity to me.
I kind of think that's what they're going to do, though.
I think so.
I think if this was Mark Strong, then this would be called Shazam 2, right? If that's what we were doing with the character. If he was going to be the villain of the movie, this would be Shazam 2 and Black Adam would be in it. This is the Black Adam movie.
Yeah.
So I don't see Shazam appearing... maybe at the very end, but I think we're building to a third movie, which is going to be Batman v Superman.
Yeah.
But instead, it's going to be Shazam v Black Adam.
Yeah, maybe in a post-credit or something like that. I feel like I want this... I guess when I say a little bit of that darkness from Joker is like what I've always... The problem I've usually had with Dwayne Johnson in most of his films is there's a lightness to it that you don't have with like a Schwarzenegger. In some of his films where it's like, I take Arnold more seriously in a jungle as like a serious badass than The Rock. There's just a lot of, he's always winking at you. I know I'm going to get a lot of hate for that. I know he's really popular.
No, it's okay.
I just kind of want to see the character take itself seriously in its world with like a real, you know, not a winking darkness.
He does tweet out saying, kneel at his feet or get crushed by his boot. Mm. My honor to become Black Adam. I think he's totally
And then he says, hashtag the anti-hero.
Yeah.
Which is the part to me that I'm like very confused because I don't know. Somebody correct me if I'm wrong. I've read a decent amount of Shazam comics. Where is Black Adam an anti-hero? When does that happen? I've missed that turn if that takes place. So the fact that they're even marketing it that way and The Rock is saying that and he's not saying villain,
saying
do you guys think that it's The Rock calling himself an anti-hero because as an actor that's what you're supposed to do when you're playing a villain? Or do you think that he is announcing that this is an anti-hero movie? In which case it's obviously very different than
The Joker. A lot of people are pointing out that we might have erroneous information that Garth McMurray is saying that this tweet was from September 3rd, 2014.
Oh.
Is that really
a lot
true?
Has changed since then.
Wow. I don't know why. That was on several sites, so I don't know why we
I think it's still anti-hero. He's still saying anti-hero.
Yeah, no, anti-hero mean to me is it's like a Clint Eastwood bad Western kind of character, right? Like, an anti-hero is still, you're following their, you know, positive arc, but there is, you know, they're like the bad guy that's taking out the worst people.
Punisher.
Kind of
Punisher is the anti-hero.
Yes, there you go.
I think overall the success of Joker is going to be less that DC goes in the direction of the tone of that movie and more that they're going to celebrate different kinds of movies. And maybe that label ends up being an official thing that Todd Phillips pitched, you know.
The black label or whatever.
Yeah, because I think it just proves that people want fresh takes. They want something different. They don't want to feel like they're going to the same movie every time.
I'm appreciative of the chat right now letting us know that Black Adam was a member of the JSA for a time. So I guess I just haven't – I don't remember that. Do you remember that, guys? Black Adam being a member of JSA.
No, none of the arcs that I've
America,
read.
Pre-52. Interesting, says Byron in the pre-52. Just Society of America has Black Adam as the anti-hero, says not a critic. So maybe that's more similar to what story they're going.
And
do you think then, if that is the case, do you think that we will see a Black Adam Shazam team-up movie as opposed to a Black Adam versus Shazam movie?
I think like all classic versus, I do think they'll end up somehow working together for the greater good. I think because I don't think you're going to build him as a straight villain like a Joker in the Black Adam movie. He's going to be an anti-hero, and it's just going to be, it'll be interesting to see this very old, wizened version of a Shazam character with Billy's, like, youth. But I also want to see how these tones kind of come together, because Shazam is by far the lightest in tone of the DC film. So
yes,
if it's still in that world, how far can it go in the other direction if you're going to bring them together? Like, you know, it was definitely, you know. Anyway, we should probably move on and talk about a lot of our...
Get to it, baby!
Okay, let's just talk about...
This is why I came.
...stuff that we know. Okay, we mentioned that this was a possibility. We have Catwoman. We have Zoe Kravitz officially cast from Big Little Lies and many, many other things.
Cool for 5,000 reasons.
5,000 reasons. List them.
Number one, it's awesome that Lisa Bonet is married to Momoa, who is her stepdad.
She's related to Aquaman.
Which is just great, because why not keep it in the family? What did he say? It's rad or something? Did you guys see? He had made a statement on it.
Did Aquaman make a comment?
He had posted on Instagram.
It was something like, it's rad or whatever cool guy terminology it was. Number two, I think she's a ridiculously talented actress. I love her on Big Little Lies, but just in general and everything I've seen. Number three, I feel like she has cat-like tendencies. She's very, like, quick on her feet, and number four, she's probably the most stunning person on the planet.
Stunning,
I feel like, because
thing.
Of all of those reasons, she's legitimately perfect casting for Catwoman. There's not one person, in the same way that I thought Robert Pattinson was the number one best person to play Batman, I think that Zoe Kravitz is the number one best person to play Catwoman, which means that, to me, Matt Reeves right now is knocking it out of the park, not to mention the next casting that we will talk about.
I could not agree more. I have very strong feelings about her casting. I love it so much. I have the receipts with my husband because I fan cast her like a dork months ago.
Really?
Yes. And I told him.
Go Ricky.
Ask him. I said she would be perfect. She's got this. So I feel like I'm dreaming right now. It's just so perfect to me. And she's got this very kind of coy, slinky, too cool
cat
for school.
Thing. She's got the cat thing about
she's
her.
She's just very sort of feline. Nonchalant and like...
She's a feline feminine.
Yeah, she can pull off the Selena vibe really well. And she's just... I'm like, biggest crush is Lenny Kravitz. She's like a close second. She's amazing.
Incredibly excited for me, as opposed to you guys at this table who bailed so hard, and I don't want to hear you guys say one bad word about Gotham right now. I will not hear it.
I watched
but
a lot of it.
I had to watch and feel it. Like, Selina Kyle is a very beautiful character, and you guys are really going to come at us with a minor for all of the seasons. Like, I'm excited to be able to like a Catwoman in these kind of ways again. So thank you. I would like an adult live action Catwoman back in my graces.
See,
thank
I didn't have the
much.
Same problem you had, because I just had her over 18 playing younger in my head.
I get
you know,
it.
Whether that's real or not, that's what
I
justified it.
All I'm saying is I'm allowed to have whatever kind of crush on this girl that I want, and boy, is it doing it for me.
Now, what do you guys think? It me, obviously, you know, we don't really know tone of the movie, but, you know, Anne Hathaway was a very specific type of Catwoman. Michelle Pfeiffer was a very specific type. What do you think this version of Catwoman will be like that's
Halle
different
Berry.
Than the others?
I think it's going to be...
Sorry, Halle.
I think it's going to be... it's a really overused word, but it's going to be grittier. It's not going to be as sleek, maybe, as Nolan's Batman world. I think you're going to feel the street a little bit more, almost like you would with the texture of, like, a 70s film.
Yeah.
Like, just feel less a fanciful, Burton-esque sort of Gotham, I think... A real street, like really out
well,
there.
Well, and to that point, did you? I had read some articles that had mentioned she was trying to get a role in The Dark Knight Rises, and some people went even further in saying she was trying to get an audition for Catwoman.
Interesting.
And she couldn't get the audition.
She said
because
it was for a minor role.
Okay.
Okay.
But she had said something like the filmmakers didn't want to go that, quote,
urban yeah.
which right. it was like that's like sort of dog whistle.
Well,
okay.
It was also
right
a decade
there.
Ago.
But you're talking about the texture of the film. Let's
but how
also
redeeming
talk about,
that she here is today.
Completely.
You know?
I think, though, when it comes to her, we have to talk about the next casting, yeah, too, exactly, so that we can bring it into.
Exactly. Yes. So you asked about the world. What is it looking like? Well, another really serious actor, Paul Dano, is officially cast as a Riddler. Prior to this, we've heard that Jonah Hill was in consideration possibly for one role, possibly for the other. Now, it's sort of, depending on who you ask, it's sort of look like Jonah was up for one role, wanted the other role maybe, or wanted a lot of money, and this was maybe always in the works, because this doesn't seem to me like a second choice.
Absolutely not. This, for me, is 3 for 3 with Matt Reeves.
Yeah.
Four for four if you count Matt Reeves.
Yeah.
And you give it to WB.
Totally. Did you guys watch Escape at Dedimora?
I was hoping that somebody would bring that up. Yeah, between so the three big ones for you got Little Miss Sunshine, you got Escape from Dedimora, and then of course There Will Be Blood.
There Will Be Blood. Yes,
he was great in Swiss Army Man. He was really amazing. What's the one with Hugh Jackman? He played a total creep in that movie.
Prisoners.
Oh, yes. He's so good in Prisoners. Yeah. He's so excellent. I just think from everything I've seen him in, and by the way, he has tons of credits that I was like, wait, I don't even remember that.
Well, and he's very much... Oh, go ahead.
He is incredible. What I'm finding that Matt Reeves is doing is he's picking actors. Mm-hmm. Like, he is picking people that disappear into their roles, and I love that for this movie, because Jonah Hill, I really appreciate as a performer, but I've never seen him not one time in something where I was like, that's not Jonah Hill.
Yeah,
I'm always highly aware that that is Jonah Hill, and that's not necessarily his fault. He's a huge name. He's got a very unique look to him, and he is clearly Jonah Hill.
Yeah.
This is like, I'm going to pick people that disappear into a world that we are creating that is going to be real. You're going to feel like you are in frickin' Gotham.
Mm-hmm.
And him as Riddler makes so much sense to me, because he's got this very sort of like over-intellectual kind of James Spader energy to him that I really see fits that role way more than Jonah Hill. And so this was a relief to me, because I think the timing of this, because yesterday or 2 days ago, Jonah Hill drops out. And then literally the next day.
Do you think that's why they put out the news like that?
It sounds to me like WB wanted Paul as the Riddler, but Jonah, with his household name, said, no, I want that role. But Warner Brothers, it sounds like to me, wanted
totally
him as the Penguin.
Here,
I'm totally speculating.
Several questions on this for you guys. Number one, rumor has it that Jonah Hill left the project because he was asking for $10 million, which is double what Robert Pattinson is being paid, and they were not giving it to him, which is why he's not.
Which makes
me
uncomfortable knowing what people are getting paid. Is that public knowledge?
Yeah, I do, but this has been news for years. It used to be all about like who's the first $20 million person. $20 million used to be the magic number.
But
do you think this is true? I think it might be, and I also don't think $10 million is an unreasonable amount for him to ask for Jonah Hill for a Batman movie, which is guaranteed to get over $1 billion.
But let me ask you this.
Is it worth it to Warner Brothers? I don't think so.
Let me ask you guys this. Do you feel that means that he is the main villain, not Jonah Hill? Riddler is the main villain in this movie. If Jonah Hill wanted to play him, and that is true, and he was asking for $10 million, and that is true, do you think that means that Riddler is the villain of the Batman movie?
Interesting.
I hope not. Only because the nature of the Riddler, and what we're talking about, like, I was hoping to get more of, like, a Seven kind of vibe out of this Riddler. Like, a real dangerous kind of Riddler, right? Which we've never really seen. But if we know that right away, I think that might take away from the idea that this is supposed to be, like, a noirish film, which, to me, needs to be asking questions until there's a big reveal at the end. Like, if it's a noir, the one thing that it needs to be is I can't see the end coming. So if the Riddler is the one and main villain at the end of this film, like, man, that would be kind of lame for me.
Okay, question for you.
Yeah.
Do you think that this means that Jonah Hill either could possibly be playing Penguin, and this is a swerve, and he's not Riddler because he is playing Penguin in this movie, or with the standalone Joker success, we've talked about the announcement of possible standalone Riddler movie, Jonah Hill is playing Riddler in a Riddler standalone movie.
Oh.
Do you think it is possible that he is in the DC in a different capacity?
I don't know. I mean, I don't know how credible, a lot of these sources are, but every sort of, common denominator between all of them sounded like Warner Brothers maybe wanted him as the Penguin, but maybe he's trying to avoid being typecast as that type of character, because it just was weird to cast him as the Riddler, in my opinion, because it's almost like like having Zoe as like Mr. Freeze or something, because I just see her as Catwoman,
and he's such a perfect type for a penguin.
He would just be distracting to me.
Looking at his character in like Wolf of Wall Street, you could see how that was like one of my favorite performances of his, and you could see how that kind of like slimy guy could be a different kind of criminal, right? Like not just a traditional like thug kind of criminal, but like, you know, a nerdy kind of like, you know, using computers and like robbing people blind online, like doing all this kind of like, you know, high tech fraud. Like that's the kind of Riddler that I could imagine, and I could see him in that type of role. I don't know, maybe they're still talking, but the rumor is that the hunt is afoot by WB for Penguin. I don't think you're going to have a hard time finding a really great actor on caliber with these guys that maybe isn't quite as big in their career to play this role.
And it was said kind of, you know, in between the lines that apparently Seth Rogen at one point had been up for the Penguin role, and that has since that's not in negotiation anymore.
If this was Seth Rogen as the Penguin and Jonah Hill as Riddler in the movie.
There's a super bad pun that that's there somewhere.
I know, I know. But again, in that same kind of Penguin that I can imagine Jonah Hill playing, I could imagine Seth Rogen being that same guy. Like, there's a way to take that goofiness and make it creepy. If there's a way to do that, to make their, like, you know, that joviality, not, like, totally play against it, but make it be the thing that actually chills you to your soul, I think that that's something interesting.
What I think is great is I have not found one person who has actually watched these three people's performances. I'm not talking about people who have casually seen Twilight. I'm saying people who have deep-dived and actually watched these actors perform who does not like these castings. I have not seen one person anti these castings who has
seen them. Positive response.
Oh,
a lot
every
of like perfect casting.
Oh, I did also want to mention you definitely get to see a lot of Robert Pattinson's physique as well. Oh. And like, I wasn't thinking, oh, this guy needs to put on weight to be
Batman.
He
wasn't naked or anything?
A little bit. You get a little side.
But you like Willem Dafoe naked better.
Willem Dafoe at the same time looks like emaciated and enormous, and it's like the way he's shot, he's like meant to be like almost like Poseidon at the time. He's playing the saltiest sea dog you've ever seen in your life on I'm telling you, if Willem Dafoe doesn't get a nomination for a performance, there's no justice.
Zeno Hour in the chat says, how about Paul Walter Hauser as Penguin? This has been my pick for a minute now.
Who?
It's the guy from Tanya or I, Tanya.
Yeah, oh yes.
He's been in a bunch of other stuff too, and
yes,
a
lot of stuff.
He is excellent.
He's got a movie coming out. He plays a real life bomber, I guess.
But there's all different comments in the chat.
That's
right
a
now.
Great call if that's the type that they're looking for. Because listen, I gotta believe that Matt Reeves has a very specific vision for each type for these characters. Yeah. I don't think that is that fluid at this point.
Well, and it looks like they're all. Someone mentioned that it's a very young cast.
It is
opposed to other Batman casts.
This is always
very
the intention from the beginning. They were casting a younger Batman, starting at an earlier
point. So they can age with
career.
The roles.
Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I want to ask you what. I'm looking forward to the Batman more than any other film in the next couple years. I can't even think of a movie that comes close except maybe the Doctor Strange sequel. And I'm including all the DC movies in there.
It's my least favorite character.
I'm so excited about this.
Okay.
Every time one of these comes out, like Jeffrey Wright was incredible news.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to grossly name drop. I photographed Jeffrey a couple months ago before he was cast, and it just makes it even cooler that I shot Commissioner Gordon. But
he's amazing.
It's
awesome.
Such inspired casting each time. They're just nailing it. And so, like, now, what do we have? Like, Two-Face apparently might be cast, Firefly, Penguin. I mean, we've got
some. That's the crew.
Zeno Hour also said Richard Jewell is the film, other than the Batman, that he's looking forward to more in the next couple of years. That's a great call. I think a lot of people would say Richard Jewell on that, too. Some people, Suicide Squad. Yes. I'm trying to think both Marvel, Star Wars, DC. This is the movie that has me the most excited. But we're Batman
hands down.
People. I mean, listen. We're Batman people. We're going to be like that.
This movie and Bombshell, those are the ones I want to see.
I saw Bombshell a couple weeks ago.
You saw it? How was it?
We'll talk.
Yeah, we'll talk later.
Oh, shit.
Wow.
Okay.
I have so many thoughts about that.
Eat that up with the spoon.
The Russell Crowe one was better. I'll just say that.
Okay.
I have heard that from people who have seen both of them.
It definitely is. It's tough. If I hadn't seen that one, maybe I would have liked Bombshell a lot more. I'm like, oh, we just did this like better and longer. And,
got
like,
it.
You know. Anyway.
I thought that this was an interesting thing regarding Batman. Can I jump over to the Robert
Pattinson
article
please.
From New York Times?
Please. We got to keep it moving.
This was was interesting. He was asked, you're currently working on Christopher Nolan's next film, and you've been shooting, and you'll begin shooting Batman soon. How does it feel to have traded art house movies for a big studio blockbuster? And he said, I mean, Dunkirk is almost an art house movie. Christopher Nolan is literally one of the best directors who can make an art house movie for hundreds of millions of dollars. So it doesn't really feel like a studio thing. With Batman, if I'd done it a few years ago, I would have been incredibly nervous, but I've still got a few months before we start shooting, plenty of time to have a panic attack, which is fascinating because I feel like he fought so hard for this role and then probably sunk in like, I got it?
Yeah. It's a surreal
happen. Keep going. He had some other great things to say.
So then when he was asked, you were saying earlier that we should be skeptical of any actor who wants to play the hero, and yet here you are playing Batman. And he says, Batman's not a hero, though. He's a complicated character. I don't think I could ever play a real hero. There's always got to be something a little bit wrong. I think it's because one of my eyes is smaller than the other one.
Great comment.
And then when asked, what is it about Batman that excites you? He says, I love the director, Matt Reeves, and it's a dope character. His morality is a little bit off. He's not the golden boy. Unlike almost every other comic book character, there is a simplicity to his worldview, but where it sits is strange, which allows you to have more scope with the character. And then he pauses, and so the person says, mm-hmm. You just paused. And he says, I just fear that when I say anything about Batman, people online are like, what does this mean? Mm-hmm. People like us, guys.
Yeah,
and I don't know. I used to be very good at censoring myself, but I've said so many ridiculous things over the years, so I'm always curious when I'm promoting these movies how many times I can mess up. It feels like with every movie that comes out, there's always one quote from me where it's like, how? What kind of out-of-body experience produced that screaming nonsense? Which I thought was really interesting. Then he was asked, you've said that after you were cast as Batman, you anticipated a vitriolic reaction online. Is that how you say that word?
Vitriolic. Yeah, vitriolic. Bad. People saying bad things.
Well, vitriol effect makes sense. Maybe I'm just used to abuse by now. At least I didn't get death threats this time. That's a plus. It's funny that people are so very angry about Twilight. I never particularly understood it.
People are so angry about it.
I mean, what my takeaway is, he really understands the character. That's he kind of hit it on the head.
What about the fact that he just responds so wonderfully well and straight on to all comments in a very diplomatic and self-deprecating and fun kind of way? Like, he's not playing dick actor guy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And by dick actor, I don't mean Richard actor or Richard Jewell. I mean, like, you know, being purposely, like, evasive and everything. Like, he's...
He gets the absurdity of being cast as Batman and sort of is able to take himself out of it and appreciate it for what it is. It's kind of cool.
Coolio.
There was a little bit of breaking news I just saw on comicbook.com that Pattinson was talking about the bat suit and just saying that it was really cool.
There's also some other breaking news.
What's that? Oh, is this the Michael Giacchino?
Yeah, Michael Giacchino is apparently going to compose Matt Reeves' The Batman.
Giacchino, wow. Michael Giacchino is going to... That's just like the least surprising news ever. Yeah, like, he'll also be doing Doctor Strange in every other movie that you care about. But the guy's awesome. Okay. Listen, I'm not complaining about Michael Giacchino.
Some of his past works, Far From Home, The Incredibles, Up, Rogue One, Jurassic World.
Man, this is really revving up, isn't it? They're really ready to go.
We're seeing, you know, not to get to our next story, but we're seeing set pictures from Suicide Squad, the movie that's coming out after the Batman, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so Batman's like, we gotta get started because they're already shooting the movie that comes out after us.
Yeah.
Also, breaking news, Garth McMurray in the Super Chat. That's the breaking news that he gave a Super Chat. Thank you so much for doing that. I'd love to see Bill Nighy as Alfred. Alfred with Bill Nighy.
And also, you know, speaking of Matt Reeves, there was a detail that he tweeted that might be a little bit of a clue of the storyline with the Riddler, because his character is Edward Nashton rather than Nigma, which is his name before... He becomes Nigma.
Wait, what is this? What were you hearing?
So when they announced the character, they did not even say that he was playing Riddler. They said that he was playing Edward Nashton, which is I didn't even realize
Matt Reeves tweeted it.
That Edward Nigma had ever been named Edward Nashton.
I didn't either.
But I guess that was a while ago.
Yeah.
So interesting.
It was Matt Reeves' announcement. Yeah.
They do this sometimes. where they don't call the characters exactly who they are.
Yeah, so does that mean that he's not a fully realized Riddler and we're seeing his descent
I would like to think that Nigma is at least a chosen name or a given name, right? Like, otherwise it seems like...
Enigma.
If you were born with that name, then you're just, like, destined from fate, you know what I mean? Like,
very true.
Yeah, it's just like, man, of course I was going to go into the Riddling business.
You had no chance.
I was born with it as in my name.
I wonder if anybody's ever named their kid Riddler.
I'm trying to find specifics about Pattinson talking about the new Batsuit, and he says that he's worn a working version of the suit and looks forward to seeing what audiences think of the new duds. He hasn't seen the final version, but it exists in Warner's Batcave.
Well, wow. Remember, we were talking about back when it was between Pattinson and Nicholas Hoult, or that's at least what we thought it was, that they both had to put on the suit. Remember that?
And usually they do those with old suits, right?
Mm-hmm.
But
yeah, I don't think so, because I think this is going to be a more lithe, different kind of bat suit. I don't think you can throw
meaner and meaner?
Definitely. Those things. Yes, those things. And I'm telling you, the dude that was in the lighthouse already looks it. He looks like some Jim Aparo art, like right off. Like I could just see. I was like watching him taking his frame because it was beautifully shot in black and white. Mm-hmm. So I was able to just put the bat suit over the dude, and I'm like, oh my God, it's going to look crazy.
Yeah.
A couple different thoughts in the chat, and then we definitely have to move forward. Okay. Jeremy Miller says, I love the idea of starting Riddler's story from his early origin. Ivan Soto says, so we're seeing Riddler from Gotham again, the creation of him. Thunder God Cairo 770 says,
whoever said that.
Probably just thought it was too on the nose and changed it to have him be Edward Enigma. I mean,
a
lot of thoughts in here. Appreciate it. Keep the comments coming. Adam, what do you got next for us?
Okay, well, we got to just, our weekly mention of Joker, not too much Joker news, but it's WB's highest grossing film of 2019, which is amazing in a year when It Chapter 2 came out. And I guess just today, Joker has crossed $600 million worldwide, and it is among the top 10 grossing films. It's not near the $1 billion club. I don't know if it's going to get to the 7 and change that Venom did, which it was previously connected to, but maybe.
I kind of think so.
What do you guys think? So Joker, ridiculous success.
Ridiculous.
I think it might have an interesting effect on these types of movies. I love that a movie made for not a whole lot of money that's based on an IP, you know, tentpole type character like this. You don't have to spend, you know, you don't have to dump a whole bunch of CG. You just put together a really amazing script.
Did
and people
like
will,
it? What did you think?
Oh, I mean... Unbelievable. I've seen it three times.
Oh my goodness, Ricky Middlesworth has seen Joker three times.
I have. Well, you know, it's because all my friends are like, I gotta go with you. So, you know, I'll happily go with you. But it was the first time in like over 10 years I left a DC movie feeling like they knocked it out of the park, and I missed that feeling.
You didn't feel that way about Wonder Woman?
I didn't. I liked Wonder Woman, but I didn't feel like it was a 10 out of 10.
What do you prefer, Joker or Wonder Woman?
Oh, God. I think Joker right now. I think Joker's going to have the meat on the bones for me in the long run. I think I still need to live with them both for a little while, but like... I haven't gone back to Wonder Woman that many times. Joker, mm-hmm. I'm looking forward, but I've only seen Joker once.
Yeah.
I will say, I've heard some criticism levied against Joker, and not all of it do I disagree with, but it's, again, it's like those Scorsese quotes from a couple weeks ago. It's like, just because you might be right doesn't mean I necessarily agree. Like, I kind of see where you're coming from. And so, you know, one of these comments I heard was like, if this film was just this film, and you didn't call it the Joker, and you didn't have DC attached to it, who would have seen this film?
Yeah.
And, like, that the real joke of this film is that just by calling it Joker and having so little to do with the actual character, they're able to take this independent film and blow it up where it makes, like, this much money.
And Todd Phillips admits to that. He says it was sort of our way into, right, to this story is what kind of character can we really piggyback onto?
In a way, it kind of feeds into that, like, Scorsese thing about cinema, because it's like, now you're like, well, the only way to make a small film like this is by wrapping it in a veneer of a comic book film, which sounds...
But you know what? I'm not mad at that. You know, the reason I'm such a DC fan is because they're the shades of DC. You know, I'm not going to focus too much on the definitive Joker. I love that he told his version of, and it was so well written, and it's we're talking about it as a culture and what it means and what it doesn't mean. And
I think I agree with you. I think ultimately I see both sides of the issue. See, I see that criticism, but also at the same time, all that stuff that I bring into it, makes me enjoy it in a different way. And your point might be, well, then it doesn't quite stand on its own. And my point might be like, well, I don't care.
Yeah.
I'm bringing in all this other Joker stuff and all this other comic knowledge and everything. And yeah, so I'm going to see this film different than you. So it's it is really just interesting how the debate can go on. What were you going to say, Roxy? I'm sorry.
I was just thinking, because I love Joker. You guys know I did. But there was a lot of talk going into Joker about what it would look like, and if we were catering to the incels, and if there was going to be an incident and whatnot. And I wonder if there had been an incident, how we would be talking about it. Mm. I am curious.
I mean, I left loving the movie, but I also left saying, you know what, the debate is a fair, healthy debate. Like, yes, I can see why people were concerned about this. You know, we're living in 2019 where the disenfranchised white man is a danger to, or can be a danger to society.
He's having some growing pains, readjusting to his different place in society. And listen, I get that, you know, there's only ever 100% of the piece of the pie. So, you know, if you're going to give up some of the pie, if somebody else is going to get more of the pie, you're going to have less. That's how that works.
Yeah.
No one ever wants to give up what they have. You know, which you have to look at the big picture, and that's how progress works.
Speaking of people who don't want to give up what they have, Jason Momoa knows what he has with Aquaman for sure.
Yeah, he says that they have the sequel all mapped out, which says to me probably not a script, but they know where they're going.
This is what he said. He told Esquire, "I came in with a big pitch. I came in with the whole thing mapped out, and they loved it." My thing to you guys is, if he goes into Warner Brothers with a big pitch, you think in any way anybody in there is going to say anything other than, great, it's great, Jason, yeah, it's great. Like, what do you mean? You came in with a big pitch and nobody's going to be like, no,
I mean,
sucks.
Since that movie, I mean, Jason Momoa is a very well-liked, you know, he's like an Arnold Schwarzenegger type. People probably want to agree with him. I can see that happening.
I think that he is really good, and there's a chance that it is all mapped out. But this movie hasn't happened for quite some time. Things change.
Yeah. Do you guys still think the trench is happening?
Yes.
Yeah, I think so.
I think so, too.
Yeah, I think whatever Juan wants, Juan gets.
Right? It's really interesting. Just, again, as the overall picture of DC's slate becomes clear, they have they have all this stuff slated, but they can just make these movies whenever they're ready to go into production because they are not, having to adhere to any kind of, like, greater continuity now. Like, and they're just hitting all of them out of the park. Like, it's amazing how perception can change. Like, this time last year, people were like, oh, DC movies, but not having it. I mean, and then, like, you go post Aquaman, post this film, it's like, no, they have way more hits than misses.
I like that they're not chained to the DCEU anymore, and I hope that they can take some liberties and maybe redeem Ezra Miller's take in his solo movie and sort of go a different direction with him. And because I'm such a fan, I want it to be good.
Absolutely. I know. We have to talk about, we have pictures of Suicide Squad, guys. We have James Gunn's Suicide Squad. We had set photos, I think, appeared right after we finished our show last week. I want to say like Thursday afternoon.
Shocked. Something happened right after we did our show.
Okay, so we need to talk about that. We need to talk about those first pictures where you had, I guess, Flew the Borg in the blonde wig and Pete Davidson and all that kind of stuff on the set.
Yeah.
What were your guys' takeaways from that? We had Captain Boomerang in that.
Nathan Fillion.
Yeah, so Nathan Fillion. So what did you guys think of that?
I thought that picture looked fine. It looked a little, the costumes looked a little campy for me. I know Ryan's trying to pull that up right now. It was a picture of all of them, Ryan, on set.
Yeah. These paparazzi photos are always probably a bummer for filmmakers because it's not the way you're really supposed to see them first. But my first reaction was, they're a lot less grungy than they were in the first one. It's definitely, you know, Captain Boomerang looks a little more cleaned up and a little more streamlined.
Jai looked good.
Yeah. I thought it looked great. I loved the campiness and corniness.
Yeah.
I think this is funny. I think this is really obviously the team that's all going to die very early in the film. I think with Flew the Borg and Pete Davidson, I think they were shooting for a couple of days because they're all dead.
Yeah.
The question is, are they all dead? Or does Captain Boomerang survive? Or are they literally all wiped out? And I don't want to like spoil the plot, but if you're following, the next picture seem to be of Amanda Waller in a prison. Talking with Idris Elba and John Cena, almost as if, like, you're going to this prison to get a new team together because my previous team just bit the bucket.
I had to look up who all of these characters were, because I'm not, you know, familiar with who Flula is playing. And but you know what? That's what James Gunn's really good at, is making sort of unknown characters or heroes or villains and making them really interesting. That's what he did with Guardians. And, you know,
Garth McMurray has it like this: Nathan Fillion as Blackguard, Jai Courtney as Captain Boomerang, Mei Ling Eng as Mongol, Flula Borg as Javelin, Pete Davidson as Savant, and Sean Gunn, maybe Weasel. That's right, because he's in the mocap suit.
Yeah.
Yeah,
there's a Ryan. There's a picture that we're still not getting from you. It's all of them.
There it is. There he's got it right there. Yeah, that's one of. Yeah, no, I think that's the one.
No, that's not it. Actually, that's some face behind. It's just the front of them.
Because the other one, you see his face.
A little. This is how the sausage made. If you just Google the Suicide Squad set photo and image that, then you'll see what I'm talking about.
You guys want me to talk to you about how sausage is made?
I do
want
to know, how do you make your sausage?
I'm honestly probably one of the best people in Burbank to ask about how to make the sausage.
Well, what's the first step?
You gotta chop the meat. Chop it up.
Who do you guys think looks best here?
I mean, coming off of the amazing time, one of the best shows of the year, The Boys, one of my favorite comic books, Flula Borg, man. Like, I love it.
It's a little campy for
campy,
me.
Campy, yeah.
Yeah, but really, I think fun. It's gonna be, I think he's going out as a joke. I think it's going to be a
Joker?
Big joke. Not Joker. Actually funny.
Right.
It looks very Guardians of the Galaxy in that they look very broad. He always has someone like painted in an extreme skin tone, right? Like, that's a color of skin you would see
Mongol has.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's a very challenging Halloween costume for me to have.
Which one?
Mongol.
Oh,
she looks cool, though.
She does look cool. I just, that would get all over my sheets real fast. It's not a good... Not an easy task. All right, but we have more stuff going on.
Oh,
though,
my
Adam.
God, so much more stuff going on.
James Gunn was talking about The Suicide Squad, and he actually referred to it as the most fun movie that he's directed. He said that they are all challenging. Super was physically brutal, so much movie and so little time to shoot. Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 1 was scary because I didn't know if people would get the vibe. Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2 was the hardest because of my mental state. The Suicide Squad is the most complex and biggest, but also the most fun so far, which is interesting that he thinks it's the most fun so far. I like that.
Coming into his own as a filmmaker on this scale. Now, this is now his third ginormous movie he's made. It's like, that's perfect. He's coming into his own. And it seemed like he had a really strong idea. I'm very much looking forward to this film, too. Not as much as The Batman.
But still looking forward to it.
But still really looking forward to it. What a great year that's going
to
be.
A movie you don't have to look forward to, Adam, because we already saw it. However, release the Snyder Cut!
Oh, I think we've seen it at this point, haven't we?
Release the Snyder Cut! Zack Snyder shared a photo of Wonder Woman uncovering Darkseid and Justice League.
Right.
It was a very dark photo, and it happened.
It seemed
so,
like this was probably an epilogue sort of thing. Like, there were a lot of allusions to Darkseid. Is this just your general Snyder Cut malaise that you're feeling?
Yes!
You're just sick of hearing about it.
Why is he... Zack Snyder put this picture out.
It's ironic, is it not, that the one film that gets the most attention is the least successful film.
Well,
it's the one thing that people want to redo on.
It's got a really interesting story behind it. You know, it's the documentary we all want about, like, what happened, you know?
The death of Superman Lives, what happened?
Yeah. It's really interesting, though, because I'm curious. Like, I know people want the Snyder Cut, but do they also want the DC world that would have meant? Like, if you do the sliding doors, like, if they go through with Zack Snyder's vision and continue that... You don't have maybe what we have now or what we're looking at now. I don't know. I don't know. I don't think... I think he had good ideas. I just don't know that he's the guy that can pull off those ideas.
I mean, look, do I want to watch the Snyder Cut? Absolutely. Do I think it would have been a better movie? That I don't know. I think we would have ended up in the same place, you know?
Which is still hosting DC Movie News.
Yes.
Yeah.
Also, Adam, Jesse Eisenberg still wanting to play Lex Luthor.
Yeah, he was out and about promoting Zombieland 2, which I saw.
You're on fire.
Good fun had in there. You know, he's the of all the people in that movie 10 years later, he looks the most exactly the same. Everyone looks like, you know, a little bit older except Jesse Eisenberg.
That's funny.
So he's kind of very noncommittal. He basically is saying that he would like to play it again, but he doesn't see it happening, nor does he think there's any plans.
Exactly. It's one of those questions where it's like, of course he's going to say yes, he wants to play it again.
And he's most likely under contract to do it as many times as they want.
Yeah,
but.
True.
Mean, two of the biggest gaffes that the Snyderverse, you know, committed were their portrayals of Lex and Joker, I think, and
ooh, well said. Yeah,
well, I mean, I think those are like iconic villains, and it was they were not embraced.
Big
we'll
swings,
say. Yeah,
yeah.
I like them both actually.
I didn't get it. I didn't get his. He really went there and he took a really big swing that didn't work for me in a lot of ways. So I agree with you. But guys, there's so much movie news that we had. I think we still have just a few minutes to dip into your alternate universe. Is there perhaps?
It's time for
Rex and Giant.
You better put that graphic on the screen again, Ryan.
Let's hope so.
It's there. Also, Mikey,
Christmas time. Good job.
TV time. Before we fully get into TV time, quick shout out to SeanCal26 in the super chat right now. He said, "Snyder cut, do it or kill it." What the fuck?
Do it or kill it. I guess, I mean, at this point, there've been so many pictures released. Can somebody like put together a mock-up of the Snyder cut?
I know.
So aren't some of them petitioning to have it on HBO Max or something? That's like,
yeah. We'll see how that turns out. There is something exciting though. Have you guys been watching? CW shows have come back officially, and there was a Batman mask in the season premiere of Arrow. It was on.
Oh my god! I just closed out of it. I'm so sorry.
No worries. It was on the island. We're on a different Man Earth. We are on Earth 2's version. So instead of whoever's it was on our Earth, I think it was Deathstroke.
Yeah.
Yes. This is who it was. Instead of Deathstroke's, it was this. It blink and you would have missed it. I did miss it and had to rewind.
Wait, you didn't see the Batman cowl just there?
No. I was like doing something and then I saw that somebody tweeted about it. I was like, what? And then I scrubbed through the episode. I was like, oh my god, it was there for like 3 seconds.
It was the first episode of Arrow I've seen since like
now,
10 episodes into last season.
Is it just me or does this cowl look like a prototype for Ruby Rose's
100%
cowl that
too wide around her face, too wide around her mother effing face?
It's really wide up there.
Please put that wig on ASAP.
The coolest
She's a bulbous Batwoman.
But the coolest part about this headline is that it's Kevin Conroy's cowl. I just think that's so fun that, you know, we live in a world in 2019 where this is Kevin Conroy's cowl.
Wait, what makes you say that?
Isn't that what they're insinuating, that this is Batman's cowl?
Yeah,
oh.
That's Batman's cowl, but not necessarily Kevin Conroy. I don't know what Earth
got it
that Kevin Conroy is on. We haven't been introduced, but basically this episode of Arrow takes place on an alternate Earth because Arrow is now crossing to different Earths.
Which, spoiler alert, that Earth doesn't exist anymore. So
which one?
Bye-bye, Earth 2.
Which one?
This Earth.
Doesn't exist anymore?
You didn't watch the end?
What do you mean? It got sucked up by the end. Yeah. They got out of there quick and they took great. Yeah.
The Earth got eaten.
So, yeah, it was eaten, so this is not Kevin Conroy's Earth. But, okay, yeah, what did you think of the episode?
Thought it was good. The best of the DC one so far. I'm just not loving the DC CW TV shows this season so far. We'll see how it goes. But things that I know you are loving, Adam, are over on the app. Titans.
I'm a huge fan. As I was telling you guys before the show, I think Titans can be kind of goofy, like, but in a different way than the CW shows, and I love it. I love that it is just so in a fully realized comic booky DC as we know it universe.
Yeah.
And it all happens in there. I thought the Connor episode was amazing. I thought this episode, Bruce Wayne, was a little slow, but I loved that they play with the fact that this Bruce Wayne looks so much like Adam West, and they even have him doing the freaking Bat-Tuesday!
Well, he was doing the dance.
Let's speak about the slowness of the show in general that you just mentioned, because Brendan Thwaites was revealing why Nightwing debut is delayed.
They're making us wait.
That's why I have to wear this shirt.
He said, when I signed on to this in an early meeting, they were telling me in the first season it would be about the transition of Dick becoming Nightwing. That's where all the training came from, in the preparation that I would become Nightwing. But the way the story had it, we had other elements to deal with, so we went down a different path. The whole time, I was very anxious to read the pages of what the story and journey of Dick growing into Nightwing would be. For a number of reasons, it provides an opportunity, a character to realize his potential as a superhero. When that happens, we feel a sense of confidence watching it. So basically, he's explaining it's delayed because they went down other paths.
Well, and that's why I really appreciate the show, because I think the writing is much more sophisticated than the other DC shows. You know, in season one, they did take their time, I think, maybe to a fault in developing these characters.
But I think so.
I'm honestly losing my mind over season two. I think it's amazing.
Me too.
I think they've fixed all the sort of growing pains they have. And yeah, they're still taking their time developing Dick, but things are happening. We're getting Superboy. I wish they would give my boy Ryan Potter, shout out to Ryan, a little bit more to do. We okay over there?
Yeah, we're fine.
This season is so epic to me.
I don't think this season is as epic as you guys do. I thought last week's episode, Connor, was amazing. I thought that episode was incredible. I love Hawk and Dove, and I like having them around more often. This episode was so boring. Oh my God, was it so boring. I stopped. I was like, let me cook some food. Let me come back.
I like the idea of Bruce in his head like that as you know, he's trying to figure out who he is after Batman.
I like the concept.
But I do understand, like, you know, it's taking us a few beats to get to where we all want to be.
I also, you know, I had a really hard time with Raven's character last season, and I have equally as a hard time with Raven's character this season.
Fair. I think those are fair things. I think the world is working on me enough that I can even tolerate a slow episode like this. The other thing that I think the show does so well, and I've said this before, is incredible fight choreography. Like, I think you can make up so much with like a TV size budget with really wonderful, authentic, and like this show is almost on par with Daredevil for me with like the good close-up stuff. And then so watching like CW shows and like Arrow, where they do a ton of it, and bless them, they have to come up with so much fighting and they're so talented.
Yeah.
But it just doesn't have the same impact. And this episode had none of it, so it is a slow episode in many ways.
And I love what they're doing with Jason Todd. You know, he's like going down a dark path and seeing his relationship with Dick.
No,
I like him too, but like either like fully suck face or don't.
Oh God, that was awesome.
Like either like make out or freaking don't.
They sort of did, but oh God.
Oh, when he made out with Rose?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I didn't like that.
That's what I'm saying. Either do it or don't. A show that we all are going to have opinions on coming next week is HBO's Watchmen show.
Oh, my goodness.
And the reviews are out, and they seem very strong. One way or the other, very strong.
I mean,
I'm seeing mostly positive.
Yeah, most of the critical reviews are very positive.
This one coming from Vox says, I think HBO's Watchmen is tremendous television. Lots of people will strongly disagree. I think it's going to be a divisive show. Damon Lindelof obviously have lost and left. Leftovers, Ryan and my two favorite shows.
Yes.
We're very excited about this. How are you guys feeling based on the reviews, Adam, into it?
Yeah, I can't believe it. This is exactly kind of what would have been my best hoped situation. It sounds like another Lindelof series. It sounds like it's got the eeriness of Leftovers. I've also heard that like if you hang in there till episode 6, it gives you like the payoff of the craziest best episodes of Leftovers, when like the karaoke song leads into the internet.
The best.
So I'm just so excited. Based on the people that I'm hearing say the things that they're saying, and even the things that could be perceived as negative, and who they think will not like it, I think I'm going to like it.
Mm.
Vulture's headline, Watchmen's extremist superhero dystopia succeeds on sheer nerve. Ricky, how's it make you feel?
I am avoiding these reviews because I want to go in. Oh, no, I mean, the headlines are fine, but I don't want to know spoilers. I kind of want to go in fresh. I like that.
Oh,
feeling.
I'm so excited.
Yeah.
Have you seen it? Because you usually get the trailers and everything like that in previews.
Nothing. Nothing.
Because they obviously had screeners out there, and some people have seen as many as 6 episodes.
Typically, at this point, when I haven't seen something, I think, wow, they're trying to keep this close to the chest because it's not good. So I was really happy to see the reviews, and I just haven't seen it because they just didn't select me. Not because they're not trying to show people. You know what I mean?
there's so much DC content on streaming insane. Services now. Someone asked me the other day, what shows are you watching? I'm like, well, it's just to keep up on DC. That's kind of all I have time for. I don't watch anything else.
I want to shout out to Ivan Soto right now, who's been asking, per the comics, was there ever a time that you can recall that Jason Todd was suicidal? And I know, I would say my memories of the original Jason Todd run was that he was kind of a dick, which is why they voted to have him killed, and they did.
He was more of a Jason than a dick.
Well, that's true. He was actually more of a Jason. It was hanging right there.
I can't recall if he was suicidal or not.
He's just had a lot of anger problems.
Had a chip on his shoulder, yeah.
I don't think they went too far with, like, he was post-traumatic to Jason Todd. I love the stuff they did on Titans with Jason Todd. Can't wait for Watchmen. What else we got to talk about, Roxy? Wow.
We got to get out of here.
Yeah, that's so sad. I don't want to go back to the real life. I want to stay here.
No, we got to do it.
No. Why is the music? What?
Ricky, our friend who is anti-Twitter.
No, I'm kidding. You can play the music.
Where can everybody keep up with you?
I'm just not that cool. I'm on one platform. You can find me on Instagram at Ricky Middlesworth. Thank you. This week was so much fun. Thanks for having me.
Roxy. Thanks for being here. Roxy. I'm everywhere at Roxy Stryer.
I'm in some places. Well, I mean, usually you have a lot more to say than that. I'm everywhere at Roxy Stryer is like literally the shortest you've ever said.
Well,
so
because
forgive me for thinking I was going to have a breath.
We've run long.
All right, I'm Adam Gertler. See y'all next time on DC Movie News.
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of its owners or principals.